This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to episode 295 of 4th of John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Primo, Mr. Damn Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas, a.k.a. H-Town, whatever else you want to say. We got a motley crew up in here today. Obviously, we're a little late, but we are talking about the preseason game. We're doing a preseason recap. We had a great time. I would say we had a great time. Me and Prime got to... You know, taking the birds. It was me and Mal as well, and then your boy Hollis over here was actually photobombing.
That's exactly how I saw it too. I'm seeing him. I'm looking all over the screen for the big man, and then I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. I know I see the hat. There he is.
So overall, preseason and preseason. Obviously, there's things that we wanted to look at. One thing off the bat, everyone had spoke about Jalen Hurts' performance. There was no problems with the arm strength. Just a field general, a guy who seamlessly got his offense down the field. Offense looked amazing. All I wanted to see was execution right off the bat. I got to see that. Really good vibes. I mean, what were your initial feelings right off the bat?
For me, personally, I was sitting there after watching the starters come out and ball. I was over the moon, man. It's funny, too, because I ended up – there's a guy I talk to at the gym, Eagles shop, all the time. And he's sitting there. He's like, oh, man, you know, we lost that game. We'll get him next time. I'm like, did you watch the starters, though, right? Like, I don't know what the hell you're concerned about. We are looking great, man. I didn't even care what the final score of that game was.
Yeah.
The offense moved down the field without any
any
dysfunction or resistance whatsoever. I mean, Jalen Hurts had his way with the Jets defense against the first team. I saw everything I needed to see. I'm happy. I'm ready for the regular season, man. This is going to be a good-ass Eagles team this year.
Bro, the stars were lined up. I mean, from the beginning of the day, it was just like, all right, Eagles football is back. We're going to go be at the Lincoln Financial Field tonight. You know what I mean? I was happy. I ended up grabbing the wife. We ended up going. Got there on time. Made good timing, and we ended up getting in the building just so we could go ahead and see that first string go at it. That was the one thing that we messed up on last year, but that's last year. This is this year. It was perfect. Yo, the first string, I mean, Evan, you couldn't have said it any better. It was like drawn up. All the plays were drawn up just to perfectionism, and they put everything together, and that drive was just like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, it was just no mistakes. Jalen Hurts looked very good. The offense clicked. The offensive line. Cam Jurgens, bro. Like, oh, my God, man. Oh, my God. Like, dude.
Got a real one.
Hell yeah, man. Filling in just perfectly, man. But it was a great night. And, man, look, big shout out to Big Hollis. You know what I mean? I know we texted you during the day, you know, during the night and was like, look, congratulations on being an alumni. You know what I mean? You've been an alumni for a minute now. But if you're ever going to go ahead and do a picture like that, you got to be in the front, bro. You know what I mean?
I appreciate it. But, you know, the thing, as like we do that pretty much, we've been doing it for the last few years. And each year, we come out and they make it more a little bit more fun. I got to see, but I hadn't seen Bobby Williams or my boy Brandon Whiten. And then it was, I hadn't seen them in like in ages since like since we stopped playing, and it was just like you just around like a kid like at a reunion seeing a bunch of your best friends and stuff, and that's pretty much why when you're looking for me on the camera, I'm better chop it up with some of my partners.
Is there anybody that was down on the field that you're like, I really want to go talk to that guy, like what while I'm down there for this event?
No, we were all in the back at first, part kicking it back there and talking and getting loaded.
At all the former players, who was talking the most shit?
Well, nobody was really talking shit. We were just talking. Actually, I take that back. There's a short linebacker from back in the day. His name is Ike. He's a white guy, though. Hands like some fucking catcher's mitts. And he had to, because Harold Carmichael was telling me about how he hit him and knocked the shit out of him in practice. But he was back there. It's an older guy. He was talking hot cash money shit. But it was cool as hell, though. Everybody was having a good time. And it was just an all-around good day. And then you, especially after watching the first half, the way the first half started out, came out, marched downfield. When you have some new toys, that's one of the main reasons you put the new toys out there. Because you want to see what you got, and you want to see if they what they can do in a real game situation. You couldn't say nothing else. And then the defense came out and did what they were supposed to do as well. And even though we were still vanilla on D, I liked the way the line. Did you see the linebacker core? I finally saw a linebacker drop and roll with the quarterback's eyes. It just covered you, just pick off a pass and just, you know, it's like it's none of that play action faking, drawing the guys up. And I don't know if you guys saw our boy Jordan.
Oh my god!
Maybe get a little ahead of myself, but all around it was an all around good day. And Prime, I have my Eagles autism jersey on. You saw me. I had my name and number was on the back. Because I refuse to be the fat kid that they give that Eagles legend shirt, and it's a 4X, but it's a midriff. They never get the XLT, but they had some other ones that they bought from Big and Tall that were just white. I was like, man, I'm not wearing that. It's like high school all over again when they didn't have any shorts to fit me when I was playing basketball.
You don't fit a schmedium?
No. Most time I can fit a double XL, but you'll have to take an active guy to get me out of it.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, seeing the defense come onto the field, that's the excitement that really kicked in for me, because I said it since last show. That's one of the first things I wanted to see. Now, I know the offense started off the game, but as soon as the defense came on, I just kept getting up and I kept looking back at Gail and Mal, and I'm like, look, man, I'm trying to get their attention because I was so excited. And then especially with the plays, and then when Kazir White ended up getting the interception, ooh. I mean, I'm really excited. I'm turning around and I can't get this guy's attention the whole time. And I'll text him and everything. And then I got on my wife's nerve. Like, she was like, would you sit down? Would you stop? Like, I mean, like, yo, it just kicked in, like just the excitement. And man, I miss that. I miss having that excitement. And we're talking about a preseason game. I know, but it was just exciting to see that defense come together the way they did. And I got really high hopes going into the regular season.
I mean, that's the thing. It is preseason, but at the end of the day, like, what you want to see is execution. I think that's what we got to see. I think if this was like a movie, you had little chapters. You had the Jordan Davis chapter. He did his thing. He was pushing linemen around. The fact that,
Zach Wilson
was running for his life.
You know, I did love what he did on that play. Now, back in the heyday or even in college, normally we would have fell on him. In the pros, we would have fell on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. In the pros, that's a 15-yard penalty. I love mm-hmm. how he laid off. And that's what – when I'm looking at guys – now, if that had been Derek Barnett, what do you think would have happened? Can't get right. He would have fell right on time. Like, oh, I fell. Yeah, 15. But it's like I love the fact that he was chasing the rock. I loved his hand usage. He was getting violent in there. Man, it was just a – I think the main thing was the anticipation of this game and the anticipation of football season for us. Now, we had seen some other preseason games, but no offense, fuck them. We've worried about our birds.
Exactly.
And the anticipation And for them to come out and do what they did, the way they did it, it was all around satisfying day.
Absolutely. And just a couple things on that defense. I mean, you brought up Jordan Davis. I mean, dude, I saw some stills from that game where my man was getting triple teamed. He got quadruple teamed at one time, man. I've never even heard of that. I've never even heard of a defensive lineman getting quadruple teamed. But if you think about how that just opens up, like, that's three guys that are going uncovered right there. That's amazing. And I got to tell you, like, going back to that Kazir White interception, dude, I damn near got emotional. I was like, dude, we have some fucking linebackers. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was a crazy sight to see, man.
The funny thing is, Ev, I was watching that. I watched that game, and I was watching did you watch the Denver Broncos game?
Yeah, yep.
You saw who they got, don't you?
What do you mean?
Alex Singleton.
Yeah. Primo's boy.
I was like, oh, God. I'm glad he's – I was like, I love Alex, and I love it because his mom and his parents was cool as hell. But all his tackles was downfield. And he was a special teams demon at best. But then watching him play for the Denver Broncos, I was like, yeah, but I don't miss that.
Yep. Did you see that play? Speaking of ex-Eagles, did you see that Aaron Rodgers has a new wide receiver one?
Oh, got Fulmer. Travis Fulmer.
Travis forgotten. Travis forgotten.
Yeah, man.
Did he start out with the with Green Bay? What did we get him from?
He was with Green Bay.
Yeah, that's I thought we got him.
He was with Lions. He was the Lions as well.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Well, talk about wide receivers. I think Zach Pascal did show up. Talk about a guy who lost 16 pounds with his bug. The fact that he's out there seamlessly working himself back in the offense. I think from a reliability standpoint, you think about what happened with Jay Jaub getting traded.
What happened with him?
I mean, the fact that he got traded is cool, but when you think about Zach Pascal, you got a guy that can block. You got a guy that's reliable and will show up when you need him.
You guys happen to catch Seattle's little clip they put together for Jay Jaub today too.
I was like,
trying to hype the fans up.
I saw Eagle fans say, like, I give props to the social media team for finding all those highlights.
Yo, that's crazy.
that was literally every catch of his career.
It was.
Every catch of his career? He didn't have any.
Wasn't much.
That was he picked up the ball on the Miles Sanders fumble.
They didn't have to search too much.
He was an epitome of completely stinking up the joint here. I was so pissed. I guess because I was an advocate of him, but then he didn't show me anything. And I'm sitting there like, dude.
And the ultimate irony now he gets to line up with DK Metcalf. I mean, that was the whole thing in the draft.
Jaw
over DK, and now he gets to be teammates with him.
I think gods have formed that. You know, they came together. I mean, imagine they see each other in the locker room like, J-Jaw's like, sup, dude.
So are you guys gonna be slightly pissed if you go up there and become a juggernaut?
Listen, I don't even see how that's a possibility.
I don't see it as a true possibility, but I'm gonna be pissed. But then we got a DB out of the situation too, who's fairly decent. But we'll see why they were able to get rid of him. He might not just want to be there. So, but we'll see.
To answer Chris's question here, dude, Reed Sinnett is one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen, man.
That was pretty awful to watch, man.
But the funny thing about Reed, he's been fairly decent in camp. So like the fact that he put
Rager put up good camps before.
Yeah. What have I told you, Gail, about practice?
It's practice. We talk about practice, man. Franchise. We talk about practice.
When there's clear and present danger. You see what Reed Sinnett does.
Well, you talk about someone who's been had a fairly fairly decent camp. Nakobe Dean. Talk about him showing up in preseason.
Oh yeah,
young buck.
Awesome.
It almost looks like we actually put on some Georgia tape because they picked up right off where they left off.
Yep.
That was nice. That was nice to see.
It was
very nicely.
The, the day that the way the day started with them too, you know what I mean, showing up at the Lincoln Financial Field as like high school classmates, man, waiting for each other to get out of their vehicles, catching up in the parking lot, and then walking into the building together. Like, I mean, it's just like they just literally picked up from school, man, and right into the NFL. And the connection they had on the field, they were just all over the place. It was real nice seeing the Kobe Dean, you know, and even though it was with the second string team, but you could see he was just taking that leadership role on that field, man. And he was all over the place, making tackles, gang tackles, whatever it was, he was part of that play. And it was just nice to see. And we haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I did love it as well was when Jordan missed the tackle and the Kobe Dean was right there to play off of him. We haven't seen our linebackers play that well in a few years. And it's just the linebacker play was stellar. I'm sorry. We hadn't seen this from our defense in a long time. We had been watching them get pushed around and mashed around. We always talk about our front four being good. And I know this will be a breath of fresh air for the guys playing up front, because they won't be able to stay on the blocks like they do and double team two or three guys up front and run the ball. You'll see some single teams, and we should be able to flourish. And hopefully somebody comes with some testicle fortitude to put some heat on some people. Or we have Vic Fangio waiting in the wing.
I feel like you're going to be pulling that Vic card a lot this season.
Damn, Skippy, when the first year I made the team, you know, on Mondays and Tuesdays, they bring other players in to work out. So you just because you make the 53 man roster, don't mean you're gonna be there the whole season. It's what have you done for me lately? And if you're not performing, there's somebody waiting to get your ass up out of here.
You know who was someone to it was a pleasant surprise, some guy that's not a bubble guy, some guy that's been around a long time, one of my favorite Eagles, Brandon Graham, coming back, man.
Oh, yeah.
He was looking sharp, dude. He was looking like he didn't miss a beat. We've been hearing that all camp so far. It's as if he had never had that Achilles injury. But man, I mean, to see him out there at full speed.
Yeah. I saw a couple of practices without you guys. It was he was running around. I was surprised at how agile he still was, and especially after Achilles rupture like that. Yeah. It's just like I'm happy to see it for him though, because I know he wants to end it out here. As long as he keeps doing what he's doing and continues to make plays, he can play another 2 years.
And honestly, yeah, with the rotation that we have on this defensive line, it helps him out. I mean, he doesn't have to be in there every single down.
Well, Brent, yeah. I was speaking with Brandon at the Trent Cole camp, and he was saying that sometimes when you're injured, you don't get an opportunity to like work on some things. But he said since he had so long to really work on his craft, he was like, I was able to do some things that I haven't been able to work out, you know, in a long time. So I was doing some extra things in the off season. So he said he feels great, man. It's obviously something that we've all seen and everyone's excited about. Talk about other people. You know, I think another person that everyone was excited to see was AJ Brown. Mm-hmm. I think if you're watching some of the stuff, you know, obviously it's preseason, but the fact that the attention that he draws,
he garners, yep.
You saw Dallas Goedert.
Who was that? Who you see?
Dallas Goedert, and the anticipation and the strength of the throw was right there for Evan.
What I feel like
remember we were saying who was gonna be the 1-2 punch. It's shots being fired all around. Because I told you Dallas Goedert was probably gonna be number one, because AJ is going to garner that type of attention all year long. So
you still got
that's why I was gloating on two aspects.
I think Hollis is going to hold Ev to the fire on that for the rest of his life.
Man, I'm all for eating crow if it means that the Eagles are performing well, man. That's right. Love being wrong when it means the Eagles are going well.
You're not going to be eating this crow. I'm going to be jamming it down your throat. But it was just like some not really ill-placed anger. It's like I listened to some of the other people in the other media outlets, and they talk about him in that fashion. And we got two guys down and the Carolina both for top five picks that suck ass, and you talk about they're fighting for a starting job. Are you kidding me? And you talking about this kid who's just in his third full year?
Right.
Come on, give him an opportunity. That's all I'm saying. Give him an opportunity.
I'm with you, man.
I'm with all the questions, but just give a man an opportunity.
I'm going to give someone else an opportunity here. Gardner Minshew's number one fan, Chris, out here. He wants to say, he says there was some shoe doubting in the last video, I believe.
Chris, we're going to get on that subject in a little bit, man, because there was a lot of observation that I saw that day with Gardner, man. Hey, look, he ain't that guy no more. He ain't that guy like
that. Carson Strong?
I saw people in the chat asking about Carson Strong. Right. I think he's gonna get a shot this week. Yeah, see what he can do.
Yeah, you're right.
I believe he's been in the doghouse. I don't think he's had the greatest camp, and I think
he's having a little bit of a problem learning the playbook a little bit.
I just wanted to say, after Reed Sinet's performance last week, I'd love to see some more Carson Strong.
Yeah, but I like Carson because of his athletic ability, and he's got a real strong arm, and he's a bit of a gambling man. So I think it's going to be one of the things where he's going to have to get into the playbook, because they're not going to put you out there if you don't know what the hell to do. That's one of the main things, whether it's defense or offense. You can't – it's like sometimes you'll see somebody that has all the athletic ability in the world. It's like, why aren't they playing? The asshole don't know which gap to hit.
wasn't the rap on him that he didn't interview well during the draft process?
But he didn't interview well. He's a gambler, man. He's a cool kid. I had a chance to sit down and talk to him, and I talked to him here and there. But I need him to learn the playbook first so he can get on the field.
But I also need him to learn that garlic bread is not a key ingredient
item.
When you're serving filet mignon. He was forcing the issue. See, it's a little thing, man. He's forcing the issue with the garlic bread. And then his team did not agree. So he went outside the team and asked them, hey, does garlic bread go with filet mignon? They're like, no, dog.
No, it really don't. But if that's what you want to do, I take some garlic bread to make a sandwich with the filet mignon. I'm just saying. But that's me. That's me. I'm eating.
And Mr. Goldhammer says we have a top five defense in his eyes. Can we agree on that?
I agree
on that, but only if it's deployed properly. I feel like our defense playing the way it did this past week, it was great to see. But when you come up against those other QBs where you need to put some pressure on and do some other things other than just play back, because in training camp you're gonna practice the blitzes. But you're mainly going to play base because you want to see if a man can whoop a man. Can you take something basic and react and kick somebody's ass? Now, the thing that I want to see is everybody's got us on tape doing the same crap, the bend but don't break crap that we were doing last year, which we were a 10th ranked defense, which I felt was fugazi, because I felt like each and every week we gave up a drive of 8 to 10 plays or better, sometimes 2 or 3, that kind of kicked our ass out of the game when our offense was rolling, running the rock. Mm-hmm. You can't, and when you're trying to build a team, your defense at times need to give the offense a short field, get them some of those easy scores to boost their confidence and stuff. But if you don't turn over the ball, I did like the turnovers. We got a turnover this past game, which we hadn't been doing last year. And the only way you're going to get turnovers is taking risks. And you have to have that organized chaos style to get the ball away from the opposing people. But, you know, he still has yet to show me he has the testicle fortitude to do what it takes to be on top.
Now, LT is asking in the chat, anyone have any updates on our safety play? I feel like Harris
is a beast.
Yeah, you know, what updates can we really give? There wasn't really no plays that we could go ahead and.
Well, I think
Blankenship led the team in tackles.
Reed has been flashing, especially.
It was Josh Job, as I said last
week. Yeah,
but
he was one of your dark horses too.
I'm not sleeping on our safeties.
Right. What about
everybody else sleep on it? But I'm
what,
not.
What about Tart? Yeah. Let's talk about Tart, because Tart came in here, and everyone was like, "All right, Tart could maybe challenge Epps, or you know." Be a guy that can be interchangeable on the back end. He hasn't had the brightest camp.
Camp, so no. Now, this is what I would say. So this is what I said, but I'll say, if they play our defensive ones this week, we should learn a little bit about our safeties, because last week you were obviously playing against a rookie quarterback. So the safeties pretty much weren't going to get involved because we were kicking their ass up front. And anything they had to do on the edges, they weren't getting it done. And our guys weren't getting beat. The safety play will come into play this week because we're going to play a team that if they because they're going to practice against them. If they play their ones and we play our ones, you'll get to see if our safeties have what it takes to get Amari Cooper. you know what he can do to us. That'll be one of the quality tests. But he's right. I still have questions about safety. I know Prime was on this. He was one of the main ones on this. He was one of the first ones to mention it. I was like, but what do you got, Prime? What do you got about the safeties?
No, man, I really think I'm not sleeping on Epps. I think these guys are going to go ahead and really do his thing. Epps is really going to step up this year. Let the opposing people or, you know, some of you fans want to keep on doubting him. Okay, but I'm sticking to it. I know I said I wasn't going to go ahead and come out with a player's name this year because I didn't want to jinx nobody. But, yo,
right.
I got high hopes on Epps, man. I think Epps is going to really step up his game this year.
I think Prime got a good feeling when we talked to him at the Eagles autism grounds. I felt like that conversation Prime was having with him was like when your unk watches you on the sidelines, like, make the family proud. You had a moment.
What is a light skin thing?
We were at the same level, same tone, everything. Yeah, you know what I mean? All that played a factor, but it was like Gail said, it was like an uncle talking to the nephew, letting you know, look here, son. You got this. I got confidence in you. Go out there and show them. We don't need to go pick nobody else. Stop all this talk about Bates and all this shit. We're good.
I do agree with you. I like him. He's at the University of Wyoming, correct?
Yep.
So I actually had him on when I was doing the other show. We had him on the show, and I was able to sit down and talk to him and pick his brain and stuff. He's a good kid. He's a good kid, and I think he's smart, and that's what we need at safety. Uh-huh. I would like for them to be tested. I'm just saying, it's like. Just a little bit. I know he's going to bring that value out, and he's smart, and he's rarely out of position. And I love that about him. But it's time for him to take that next step of his name being mentioned.
Now, Todd has a burning question in the chat. He says, yo, Hollywood, what's the medicals on Bradbury?
It's a minor shoulder injury. We're not concerned about it.
It is minor, so far, so good.
Hey, man, first and foremost, for 1 and 2 cornerback purposes, this is the best tandem we've had in a minute. So I have high hopes on these guys. I think just watching a picture those guys lined up next to each other, that's kind of like music to my ears.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, you guys, this is one of the more formidable secondaries we put together in a few years because have you seen McPherson?
He's been doing pretty good too.
I think the competition level, you know, we're getting all those guys in here and the competition level going up. I've seen a lot of guys actually flourish and become more aggressive than I had seen them be in the past and actually go after the rock and not just watch it fall into the receiver's hands. The one thing I like our 1-2 punch, and I love Avante Maddox.
Yeah,
who's gonna be the other guys that back everybody up?
You know, Josiah Scott actually getting slot reps, slot cornerback reps, mm-hmm. and safety reps at this moment. So that's kind of it's kind of interesting. He's not the mm-hmm. biggest guy, but the fact that he's being a versatile piece, that's something you have to look at. I mean, you mentioned Josh Jobe. I mean, I think Ev's already got a jersey. Already,
I had to replace the Sidney Jones jersey. Yeah,
Sidney, he sucked ass. I don't know what you saw in him. He sucked from the word go.
I liked him coming out of the draft, man. I thought we got a steal. I was dead wrong.
I thought we reached.
Yeah,
he was hurt.
Yeah,
I hate drafting people that's hurt. It's kind of like going to the grocery store and getting a dented canned good or a bruised fruit.
And hoping for the best, right?
Yeah, hoping for the best. You know you got to eat it quick.
Now, Brian in the chat says Dallas Goedert is going off this season. I'd agree. Like, this is, it's not really the coming out party, but last year, you know, he dealt with Ertz for a little bit for the season. This is, right. This is his show. Yes, I think this is the Dallas Goedert show.
It should be the Dallas Goedert show. I felt like last year it was kind of slowed up by Zach Ertz still being around and everybody still having a bit of Ertz mania, and I felt like he kind of like nervously got into the position. But now you see him catching everything that comes his way. Now in practice and in the games, you see him catching all the passes. It's like last year we could bring up passes that he missed last year that he should have caught. I don't see him missing those passes this year, mainly because I think he's going to be the number one target because there's going to be a lot of attention paid to the guys on the edge. And then, like, once he is the number one target, those other guys will start to get more passes later on. But I think he's going to be that security blanket, and he's probably going to be the number one receiver.
I do think Goddard has to polish his game, though. I went back and watched the Bucks game.
And, yeah, see,
I was actually Pete also mentioned the QB school, because that's where I actually watched some of that the cut ups of Dallas Goedert being in the wrong place, drops here and there. But talking about Jalen footwork, I did watch some of those those snaps where he was very decisive with the football. And his feet were pointed. They're already in the right direction. The balls were very accurate.
First play of the game was phenomenal.
Well, no, and that comes with growth and watching yourself on film. It's like if you didn't see it like you were seeing it, then it would be no need to meet and nobody fighting for him or pulling for him. It's like he's going to grow with each time he's out there, mainly because he's coachable. He doesn't act like he knows it all like number 11 down at with the Commanders.
Yeah.
It's like he became uncoachable. Like he wouldn't take the coaching. Well, from what I heard, he thought he knew it all. He said it in one of the interviews. He's like, that's the way I play. I'm not changing the way I play. I was like, well, you need to. You throwing picks like that.
You're holding on to the ball for 5 hours each play.
Yeah. And we had the funniest thing was when he said had that interview, myself and a bunch of the other people who were former Eagles, we were having to talk about it on Twitter. It's like, sounds like he's not scared of being benched, and he's never been benched before. Huh. That's what, when you do an interview like that, and you say things of that magnitude, you'd only be sitting your ass down the next week.
Yeah, yeah, he's a guy that's a lot more confident in his abilities than what he actually is capable of.
Right.
Now, there was a recent interview that was making its way around the timeline of a journalist being very frank with Carson Wentz. Some may feel like he was being bullied, but he carried himself as a professional. Do you think you're like Hollis has been saying on every other show, it's your third team in 3 years. So there is some reason why you're in a situation like this. But I feel like, it is a put up or shut up time for Wentz. And at the end of the day, like it is what it is.
Yeah, it's his third team in 3 years, dude. What are you talking about? You're making $28.8 million. And you're your third team? What other team you think gonna take that money?
Ain't nobody.
Nobody else is gonna take their money. It's like, dude. It's like you have to start playing, man. You have to start playing at some point. It's like this is 1, 2, 3. This is your third. First you thought it was because you didn't have Frank Reich. Then you go up there and screw up Frank Reich situation with his owner. And then by the grace of God. They're able to find some other Yahoo to take you off their hands for a draft pick and that.
And with that being said, I think it's time for him to come down.
Oh, word.
Yeah,
word.
Bro, he's getting slaughtered, man.
It better not be up week 3, man.
Nah, man. It's definitely, I'm making room for somebody else, man.
Please do.
My kingdom crumbled.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad, bro. It's bad.
Now, I just saw something go across the bottom. What's up with tender hammy?
You talking? You calling his hamstring a tenderoni?
He's got a there's a soft tissue injury. Well, soft.
I'm not gonna say what I was gonna say, but I think he's okay. No, I think he's okay.
Is that the opposite of what you were gonna say?
Yeah, you are right back there.
Hey, what was that, Prime?
I'm asking, you all right? I mean, can you tighten up a little bit?
Yeah,
I got hopes for you this season. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a tweet out there from I think it was Lord Brunson who had mentioned talking about NFC backs, right? You talk about Zeke, who's been banged up a little bit. Tony Pollard has been stealing some shine. Saquon always hurt Barkley as of late. Love the dude. You talk about Miles Sanders, who's been tenderoni at sometimes.
Yeah.
And you talk about Gibson down in Washington. Yep. Who is the best back in the NFC East this season?
Are you talking about when you're factoring in reliability?
Who do you think is going to be the best running back in the NFC East?
It's going to be Oz by committee. Because Sanders can't stay healthy.
Yeah,
he's yet to prove that he can stay healthy for an entire season. And then when he is healthy, is he going to take the coaching?
Right.
Is he going to take the one cut and take what they give him? That's the only gripe I have with the kid is take the one cut, quit running east and west, ass downfield.
I sound like you've been talking to a Deuce.
A lot. Well, Deuce and his current and the current running back coach. The current running back coach is telling him the same thing. I was at the Carolina game. We're trying to run out the clock after by the grace of God, we've come back and we've got the game in hand and we're trying to run out the clock and you run your happy ass out of bounds. What the hell? Your situational awareness sucks ass. It's like, it's not about you. It's a team game. We're trying to ice the game and you run two plays back to back out of bounds.
I think Tank be holding grudges, because I've heard that from you three times.
I just remember facts.
Okay, all right. Well, in the preseason game, did you guys like what you saw from Miles Sanders? He was decisive.
Yeah, he was decisive. If you run like that, go ahead, Em.
I was just gonna say it's not the in-game ability and play of Miles Sanders I'm concerned about. It's the reliability, man. I think Miles Sanders is a good running back. I think he can make the right decisions, and he's athletic enough to be good in this league. I just don't. I think he's an injury-prone player, and that's just an unfortunate fact. And there's really no way that you can. Some guys are just injury prone. It is what it is. And tenderonies, it's unfortunate.
Man.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he seems to be that way, but it is what it is.
Now I'm gonna let Prime go last because I see the poster on your wall there. But the thing that I think he would be okay if he wasn't always trying to hit the home run. This is not Sandlot, and this is not college.
Nickel
I think
dime.
if he would be more decisive, like Deuce Five, like cut on the dime. If he would cut on the dime, everything would be cool, and then you would get some of those long runs. Yeah. But running east and west, no, dude, I play. I want you as a big dog. I want you running east and west. It gives me time to catch up to your ass. And then, as soon as you think you're gonna break the line, and you watch it day week in and week out. I loved what I seen from him in his preseason game because he was decisive. He got downhill. That's what we needed to see. The thing that the end game part that I don't like, Ev, is we get that sometimes. It needs to be on a consistent basis. If it's not on a consistent basis, they're going to exploit it. And then he's going to do it one time when we need him to get the first down. When we need him to stay in bounds. So he's not reliable. He's not durable or reliable. Right. At this point, you had two different coaches telling them the same damn thing.
And what is your guys' avenue to fix this? Because I don't think it's something that necessarily we trade for this year. I think we just kind of scrap together our running backs and do the best we can. But next year, man, I think a power runner is perfect.
I've heard a lot of First of all, as soon as the tenderoni news came out, I got a whole bunch of texts see, should have called Jordan Howard. Get Jordan Howard on the phone. But I've also heard a lot of Kareem Hunt. Get Kareem Hunt in here. I mean, that, you talk about this offensive line with Kareem Hunt in the mix, mm-hmm. that would be a sick kind of if she's saying J-I-J-S on steroids.
Yeah.
but they're not. You know, Cleveland is not letting Kareem Hunt go. They got him at a premium. They got him cheap. I did hear some Josh Jacobs talk, but then the Vegas quickly shut that down. If he doesn't get it this year, this is the year that he should get it. If he doesn't get it this year, and he comes out doing the same, giving us that same crap he's been giving us in the past. It's like, because he pissed me off when he, in the Kansas City game at the end, when he took one cut, he got a long run and then gonna spike the ball, like give him the ball. I'm like, bitch, did you see what you did the first 8 or 9 times that we gave your punk ass the ball? Come on, man. No, don't do that.
You're right though. You can't, I mean, I'm not gonna sugarcoat, you know, the whole situation. I mean, I got high hopes for Miles, but you're right. I mean, Miles does have a tendency of he'll start off great, but then he'll go back to his stupid shit. The East and West is really unnecessary. I mean, like, it was nice to see some of the dump off passes that he had during that preseason game. I got excited about that. But then there was one play where he got handed off the ball and he did it East and West instead of going straight up the middle. And I got upset about that. Like, that's the shit I don't want to see again. Like, dude, come on. And I even said that to my, like, I'm screaming to my wife. I don't want to see that shit this year. I want to see hit that gap. That gap was wide open. You could have at least got another 3 or 4 yards out of that. But, you know.
And if there's one gripe I really had with the offensive, like, game plan, and it's man, Huntley, like, I think he saw too much, man. Like I would have liked to have seen Kennedy Brooks sprinkled in there a little bit more just to see what we have going on there. If it felt like Huntley was in there for a good, like, 3/4 of the game as the only running back. And, you know, I think Huntley's a decent player. I just want to see more of what we got here.
Yeah. And that's what the preseason games were for too, is like, but I think that they may have been just trying to see what he got with a, mm-hmm. you know, with a, pause or with a big load. but it's like, so we'll probably see some of the other guys coming down, you know, coming up, because you really got to, the way these preseason games are set up, in order for you to get a look at a guy, you can't just put a guy in there for 1 or 2 plays. You got to give them a nice sample size of plays to see how they're truly going to react in a game situation, to where somebody's trying to really kick that ass. It's like, because in practice, yeah, we're trying to kick your ass, but we're not trying to maim you. In the game, I'm coming for you. I'm going for your jugular vein.
Yeah.
To go back to that question about people, we said who the best running back the NFC East will be. Feast with Pete says Gibson. Rob says Barkley. Candy with the outside thinking. I actually met Brian Robinson at the Senior Bowl. Bro is rocked up.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Rocked up. I said, look, give me something on Brian Robinson. He's over. I didn't know he was that rocked up. That was what Deuce said. Jimmy says it's going to be Miles or Kenny G.
Best running back in the NFC.
I think what's going to end up going down is we're going to have running back committee, because we got all the weapons we got. And we got a nice – our offensive line is one of the only offensive lines in the NFC East that's intact and that are true mashers. We've got an ass-kicking front offensively. If you look at, there's holes on the Commanders team. There's holes on their team. I watched the game. When they preseason the game, they were getting their ass handed to them. you look at the Cowboys. They're a little long in the tooth, and then they got a couple of holes, and they let a couple. Then they let the Collins guy, who's up, he's up with Cincinnati now. The Giants. They don't have really an offensive line yet. They've yet to even prove that they can block anybody. So,
or a quarterback.
Those cow bitches look like they're struggling as well over there.
You saw the Denver game, right?
I'm just saying.
CD Lamb got hurt today.
I'm
just saying.
I said, and Evan, you got anything to say?
I'm just saying. That's they was talking about CeeDee Lamb, because they was talking about them letting Amari Cooper go, and then the kid Wilson that went down to Jacksonville, and CeeDee Lamb picking up the slack. And my boy, Shannon Sharp was like, his favorite candy bar is Butterfingers. But when he said it too, I was like, he has dropped a bunch of prominent passes too. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare, because I'm always looking at everybody in our division, and I try to look at them definitively with an unbiased opinion. It's like who we might have the problem. The fights are going to be with the Commanders. We're gonna have fights with the Commanders, and obviously with Dallas, because they got some decent pieces still, and they got Dan Quinn as their defensive coordinator. Well, Dan Quinn is my boy. I love him, but uh-huh. I hate that he's a cowboy. He's a cowboy lover currently, so I he's on like my Dan shit list. But when you look at our division, it's like. The Giants are not going to be that much of a problem, and we should kick their ass. But it's a division game, exactly. Yeah, but if you truly looking at the running back position, you got to start up front with your offensive line. Can your offensive line block?
Yeah,
and I feel like we have the best offensive line in the division. So I'm going with whoever we turn around and hand the damn ball to.
Before we go on, for all those people that are in the chat and joining the conversation. We just want to say that we appreciate you. If y'all looked at the last preseason game during the halftime, they actually gave out those posters. So we actually grabbed some for y'all. So we are going to be giving away some of these posters, which, you know, if you check on eBay, people are selling these things for like money right now. So the fact that your boys from Fourth and John are making sure some of you guys get some of these, we're going to start picking out some people that have been showing up, and you guys know who you are because y'all show up. So we're going to start reaching out to you guys, get your address, and send those off to you just as a token of our appreciation for what y'all join in the chat every week like y'all do. So we are going to reach out to some of y'all in the chat to get your address. Are you a big fan of Tank? Are you a big fan of Marvel? Are you a Marvel guy?
Damn, skip big. The Incredible Hulk will continue in a moment.
That's your favorite dude? Favorite.
And the thing.
Thing?
The thing is, DC. It's not Marvel though. It's Ben Grimm is not Marvel. So,
Fantastic
but it,
Four.
Primal. Fantastic Four. I'm an Incredible Hulk guy.
Okay. All right. I'm right with you. I'm an Incredible Hulk. Prime, who's your favorite Marvel dude?
My favorite Marvel would probably have to be Captain America, but I tell people that's not really Captain America. That's Mr. Captain Puerto Rico right there. Don't hate.
Yeah, like Ev. Ev is like I don't do Marvel characters.
I'm phoning a friend for that.
So you don't got one?
I mean, like, I've seen, like, I like some superheroes. Like,
okay. No, Ev is the only dude that movie. I, Ev is the I only like dude I, that has never said
you
anything
like
positive.
You like Spidey? Cool.
He likes the outfit. Who's
Tobey Maguire? I like Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Hell no.
Bro, that's like that the last, was, like, I don't watch superhero movies.
That went left, but, yeah.
Man, I like the new version, Aunt May. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, I've seen her. That's Marissa Tomei, right?
Damn, you motherfucking right. It is quite a tender moment.
Shout out to Donnie Chenard. He was actually at the first Fourth of John taping at a bowling alley.
Oh, cool.
Coming all the way from Buffalo. See, I don't forget.
Donnie.
I don't forget.
Dedicated. It. Thank you, Donnie.
He came from all the way from Buffalo.
Yeah. Was it for a open practice?
Did he bring wings?
He did not bring wings.
Damn,
but I will be reaching out if you would like one of those. Could you show that poster one more time?
How many of those did you get?
You know, I can't answer that.
We don't kiss and tell here, bro. Relax.
So after the show, you'll tell me.
Yeah, after the show.
So I want to talk about, I don't know where Gale went. He's no man's land right now, but let's talk about these wide receivers right now, man. Cause yeah, I'm looking at it and I'm sitting here thinking like, we're kind of set as far as wide receivers are concerned. So I want to ramp up Jalen Hurts. I want to get as much Jalen Hurts tape out there just to try and sell him, man. Get his value higher. And if we can get any draft pick back for it, are you guys on board with that for the rest of the preseason? I mean,
are you talking about Jalen Reagor?
Jalen Reagor. Yeah.
You
said Hurts. That's why you got.
I apologize. I was thinking Jalen.
It's like to what you said. I was going to say is like I would like to do that, but you have to have a willing participant. Jalen Reagor has to be a willing participant, and when you're slaw, it's kind of hard to be a willing participant. But it's like when you let and I don't. I know the receiving coach, and I didn't want to single anybody out. It's like I was about to say, man, what the fuck is wrong with Jalen Reagor? But I didn't want to make his job harder. I just wanted to ask him, you know, what is wrong with the kid? It's like you're a first round pick in a city that's been clamoring. Well, we got AJ Brown now. So you're really expendable, and you're correct. I don't know what they saw in J-Jaw to want them.
Well, that's kind of my point, is that J-Jaw trade kind of got me rejuvenated, and I'm looking at it objectively. I personally believe that Jalen Reagor has higher value than J-Jaw.
I highly doubt it. The only reason why I say that, because it's a million Jalen Reagors. J-Jaw is tall, and he's rangy.
And he can block. So he can block.
Special teams.
We're talking about a receiver blocking.
I know. It drives me crazy.
I saw a comment in the chat saying, why did JJ get traded? I am going to believe that you got Han Soloed and you were in a period of time, a state, in a different universe. And you have woken up from that coma. Right. Yeah. And we're letting you know now that he has 16 catches in his whole career. His first touchdown was also
he had a catch.
Great blocking on the play.
No, but he had a catch.
I don't know about he picked up the fumble and he got the touchdown for that.
But the way he celebrated, like if it was a Hail Mary that he just got finished catching,
it was sad. And, hey, man, at least that umbrella will get some action in Seattle.
Come on.
It rains all the time.
that was the one crossing the line.
Yeah, that's crossing the line because I was about to bring up a tenderoni moment that we all had with his family at the Washington game. His mom was getting pushed around by fans while she's trying to make her way to her son J-Jaw, no umbrella. She was there to just show love to her son, and it was one of those mother son moments that like that was dope. And then Prime, you know, being Prime, the security, he bumped everyone out of the way, let him get, you know, that moment with his mom, and he went to Prime. He said thank you.
But anyways,
we're trying to have a feel good moment here.
I was going with it, Gail. I mean, I was letting you roll, but you know what I mean. You give the guy control to the buttons over there. He doesn't know how to act.
You know how I roll, bro. Once you're off the birds, it's kind of.
Yeah. The only excitement. I mean, I think the most excitement I've seen out of that dude is probably when he got out of the limousine on the second day.
My God, right? Dude, that was so cringy.
Apparently, somebody
was just me.
Let's go.
David Johnson saw the highlight, the hype video. It was actually, did they actually put a video together?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. That's what I was saying earlier.
Keith asked that question about J-Jaw. Mm. Keith is my boy. He's like, it was just a joke.
I don't know. Sometimes you got to make content out of anything. So you were the butt of the joke. But shout out to Keith. Anyway, shout out to Keith. Also, shout out to Philly Sports Trips. All of us. I mean, see, damn Skippy over here is going to be on every away game, almost pretty much.
Just about four or five of them. Just four of them.
Just on tour. Signing autographs.
Just the good ones.
Just smoking cigars, enjoying the birds. You know, first and foremost, this Washington trip is going to be bananas. 700 Birds fans have signed up to be down there. I'm sure three more, five more people have signed up by today. So that number is probably going up. So we're having a bus going down there. If you want to jump on and have a good time with us.
Keith is my security for that trip. Keith,
oh, okay.
Well, no, he's a security company. He's got my security for the trip.
But here's the real question. Does Carson Wentz lose his job to Sam Howell by week three? And
hey, man, you said
hold on. The other dude that they had last year that went down to the wire with Tom Brady.
Heinicke. Yep.
Yeah. Does he lose it to him? Because if he doesn't come in there and do any better than he did, why are we keeping him on the field?
If I'm being real with you, I think Heinicke would be a better backup than Minshew.
And at the end of the day, it's a Washington problem, not ours no more.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to talk about that. But we are going to talk about it on week three. But also, just to mention, we are going to be at the Detroit game as well. So if you're looking to damn Skippy will be there as well.
Damn right.
With his security detail. He'll probably be smoking a cigar, eating Grey Poupon. But we're all going to be there.
Polenta's all fruit.
Huh?
Polenta's all fruit. Would you please pass the jelly?
We also are going to be, I sound like I'm being very repetitive, but we're also going to be in Arizona as well. So if you're looking to get on these trips, check out Philly Sports Trips. Should be a dope time. I'm excited. I'm ready to
It's going down.
Just let loose, man. The stage. Shout out to Vince. We just found out that Evan, who's the only dude on 4th of John that plays golf, he's going to be in some golf tournament.
Are you good, Evan?
Hey, man, he better rep.
Play.
No. Are you good? I'm just saying because I occasionally get invited to golf tournaments. They pay me to drink and enjoy and have a good time.
I
would like to bring somebody. My buddy Greg, who was probably on. I tried to bring him as a ringer. There was a lot of what the fuck was that going on? It's like I got a ringer. Like, what the fuck was that?
I could swing him.
Shout out to Elena, who says she loves how well we travel.
Yes, it's great.
And it's Elena, send us your address. We have a poster for you. I'm getting mine framed. I don't know about y'all.
I would suggest getting it signed before you get it framed.
Good idea.
It is actually signed on there.
Yeah, but on top of that, we have a couple that we could actually frame and still have one on the side to get signed.
Oh,
give it to me. I see what I can do.
Oh,
I try to get. That's why I was asking you how many you had. I try to. That's my buddy. I talk to him at least once every couple of months. I do a lot of stuff charity wise with him because he's always helping the kids out. So I'll see if he'll do me a solid and sign a couple for me.
That would be
awesome.
I appreciate
that. But Tank, if you get an opportunity, just kind of remind him that he had mentioned about getting a workout in that, you know what I mean? I'm still waiting on. So,
okay. Yeah. Now I will give you his, I'll give you Junior's. The B Junior, he's a workout warrior.
Hey, that's cool. I'm for it.
I'm not talking about his son. He's actually became a physical fitness trainer. It was a pleasant surprise. But he was showing me tapes of what he does. I was like, I ain't doing none of that shit. I was like, you put 300 or 400 on the bench press. I got you.
Yeah, I met his son down at Ken. Super cool. He's cut from the same cloth, man. Yeah. We got a question from Brian in the chat. So, gentlemen, speaking of valuable trades, do you keep Dillard around? Do you want depth on the roster or get something for the guy? Give him a chance to start somewhere else.
I personally would like to get rid of Big Clinton because when you start talking about Jalen Reagor, there's a couple of guys on this squad who we need to display what they actually could do and put them in a good light so it could drive their value up so we can get something back for it. Because in keeping those guys, it kind of, as a when you're a head coach, it kind of fucks with everybody else who's playing, and you're just keeping a guy because he's a first round pick. It kind of fucks with your credibility, if you know what I mean. It's like you keep a guy just because he's a first round pick, and you let go of a guy that can actually help the roster.
Right.
So it's one of the things, and they're correct. I would like to, like Evan said, put him out there, show him out, because that's what I thought that Vegas was doing when they had Josh Jacobs playing their first game. I was like, oh, is he available? Oh,
yeah.
So
giving a little showcase.
Yeah. So
personally for me, I have been in the camp for a while of just wanting offensive line depth, but I got to be honest with you, the more and more I see out of Andre Dillard, the more and more I realize he's just not it, man. And Dillard. So I would move him for maximum value. The sooner the better.
And to
what you're saying, the Jets, they just lost an offensive tackle. So if another guy goes down somewhere else.
Didn't they end up signing someone as
Dwayne.
Well?
Dwayne Brown.
Dwayne Johnson. They signed The Rock, actually.
Dwayne Brown, he's like 36, 37 years old.
He's a little long in the tooth, for sure.
Yeah, the funny thing is, when he was a young buck, like I used to live in Houston, and he used to work out at the same place. It's a place called Plex in Houston, and a lot of us, like myself, Charles Woodson, Julius Peppers, Sean Rogers, Casey, all of us used to work out down there and kick it. And go to the local gentlemen's clubs and support single moms. Oh, sorry. I forgot where I was.
He's a community man.
But like Evan was saying, Evan, I was like, I do like the depth, but I think that we got a couple of other young guys on as far as depth wise. If you notice, it's been guys that hurt at his position, and he hasn't made his way on the field.
Yep.
Have you noticed that? We've seen. Go back and look at all our draft picks. Every time somebody gets Isaac Seumalo, that's another guy who I would like to see what he's got, so we could trade his ass. Because he's kind of stinking up the joint in camp. To me, I've seen him in camp. They're currently making sport of him. That's a nice way to say bullying.
Well, the thing recently, he had that fight.
That wasn't a fight. He just threw his helmet. Get his ass kicked.
But I heard he got kicked. I heard he got kicked out of practice.
Because he threw his helmet because he's getting his ass kicked.
Ooh, are we talking about Seumalo or Dillard?
Well, I'm actually talking about Dillard. I heard he had a black eye as well. This is what I heard.
Yeah, so it wasn't a fight. He was just getting hit.
And he got kicked out of practice. That's what I heard. But hey, man, build up that value. Someone's going down during the season. Injuries do happen. It's a thing. I think I mean it's a thing. Like we all know the story of Big V and what he meant to that Super Bowl run.
Yeah. Right.
It's valuable to have a guy. You'd hope that Dillard could be a swing tackle. Yeah. Left tackle was more of his position than anything. But then
I think Big V's size contributed so much to the success though too. I think that
Whole size?
Big V.
Yeah. But you know what soured me on Vitae after we won the Super Bowl? I don't know if you guys watched that first preseason game. They had snapped the ball and he didn't move out of his fucking stance.
Really?
In preseason. He damn near got the quarterback killed already.
Hey, maybe he had a hearing issue.
I don't know.
Does he have a peripheral sight issue too?
The dude in front of him ran right by him.
Yeah.
What do you think? He was going to the refrigerator for a snack.
Now we have LaRaven Clark, who's also could be a swing, but I mean, he's playing more like that's a Raven than actually LaRaven Clark. No, I'm trying to be nice, man. I'm trying to, but this is what I'm reading. So, again, you've been at camp. What have you seen from LaRaven Clark?
I haven't seen that much from him. I don't think he's in the mix. I think the guys that are in the mix. You've kind of seen them. Dickerson. They gonna try. I think they may try to keep Seumalo. I don't think he's a week one starting lock. He's been getting thrown around too much. I actually have to see him in a game situation, because I know our guys, we have some different types of animals. Driscoll, Jake Driscoll, he's been handling himself in camp. There's another kid, because I met Jake. Jake's a cool kid. It's like the offensive line, they work and they work hard. But you often see, whenever you watch the offensive line, look and you see the big pudding standing off to the side often. He's never into the mix. And I hate that shit. It's like you're supposed to be a first round pick. At some point, you're supposed to become one of the leaders. And he's not taking the reins by any stretch of the means. And he's pretty much he's a bust currently. He's currently a bust.
I think Seumalo gets that right guard position. I know Cody asked, is Juergens getting looks at guard? I know they were cross training him, but if I'm be repetitive, Cam Juergens looked the movement skills.
Yes, sir.
He almost had Ross Tucker. Like he was his own promo team for Cam Juergens.
He's not big enough to play guard, though. You don't think?
They still they'll cross train him, let him learn.
To get him some time. They'll like if he beats out somebody else, man, he needs to be on the field. Yeah, they'll play him at guard if he's a better option than Sayamalu. Right. Sayamalu he's got a roller skate. To me, he's had a roller skate. roller skates. And they ain't going in the right damn direction.
Now, I know you played defensive line, but, like, say we, hypothetically speaking, Juergens did beat out Sayamalu for the right guard spot, and he plays right guard all year long. Is that kind of taking away any of his technique when he is going to move over to center to fill in Kelsey's shoes? No?
No, because they work and they're interchangeable. Those two positions, most guards play center as well, but when it's just the mammoth sized guards that don't really play center.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how they deploy this team. They might jam Jake Driscoll might be in the mix as well. And then what's the other? It's another kid.
Stu Opetta.
He's a pretty decent guard. When they had him and him next to, in a preseason game, him next to Jordan Mailata. Dude, I was like, good God, they were big as hell. That was one hell of a double team.
Yeah.
They called Landon Dickerson the big ball pie.
Yeah, he's a beast. And that, he was the one guy who we drafted that was injured that I was wrong about, but not Sidney.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, like, Landon Dickerson was out of that preseason game, and Javon Hargrave was out, and you also just saw how dominant that line was. I mean, you just – there's so many – obviously, it's the Jets. I'm not getting –
it's the Jets are a young and up-and-coming team. They have our old GM, and he's orchestrating a young team. But if you remember last year when we played them in the regular season, they were kind of kicking our ass early on. So don't act like the Jets won. But we came out this time ready to play.
Yeah. I mean, and the execution was there. I mean, guys were getting pushed back. Now, Brandon brings up a good point here. Now, our ex backup left guard, right guard, the versatility. Pryor is their starting left tackle right now, the Colts. And you got Matt Ryan. Oh, Matt Ryan, that would be a potential where I could see –
the Eagles of the Midwest.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see them coveting him just because they have a good relationship. And if we can fleece them for another draft pick, so be it.
Hey, I mean if they pay, you know, they traded for Pryor
Carson
and gave him some money.
Yeah.
Like they could give Diller some money.
I don't know about giving him any money. You got to see if he can play first.
Well, I mean, they can trade for him.
They trade for him and see if he plays. If he plays well, you have to earn your keep. That first contract, you had to really earn your keep. It's like if you don't earn your keep, somebody might sign you to a 1-year deal on the mercenary type. They might give you a duffel bag of money, and as you come in and prove it. But until you show what you got, little mama.
No, it was funny because me and Ev were at the Jets game, and somehow we got caught behind the goalpost watching the I don't know, the photo got, there's a little kid eating ice cream, and they were part of Pryor's family. So we were sitting with Pryor's family. So we got this first glimpse in the lives of like family members watching one of their own. And they know what's on the line. And I was like I didn't really, you think about it, but you never like see it in person. The family members counting how many mistakes have been made. Oh my God, is he going to get cut? And it was definitely a look into like, oh, we're going to have to move. Like, I don't know where we're going to live next. Like, and that whole situation happened. And then it was just very interesting. But hats off to Pryor. He went off to the Colts and got himself. He's starting left tackle right now. So.
But I always liked Matt Pryor. He always had pre-snap penalties. Pre-snap penalties.
Yep.
He was either he was false start or he didn't line up on the ball.
Yep.
And you can't do that. So you can't start off. You can't start off messing up.
You got to be disciplined by the time you enter the NFL. You can't be making those stupid mistakes.
Yeah. And so Brandon wants to know if we would take a second of. I would take a refrigerator. And a washing machine for Andre Dillard currently. I don't think we're gonna get a second or third round
pick. Man, that'll be a steal.
I think a desperate team that
I think the best avenue is if you have to even wait a little bit and hold out and wait for someone's left tackle to go down, I think that would be you put them in a situation where they're between a rock and a hard place and they need a left tackle. That's when you know demand goes up, price goes up, man.
Yeah, kind of like we did with Sammy Sleeves.
Yep. Exactly.
Teddy Bridgewater went down. You know,
yep.
Unfortunate to hear. We got our first round pick back. It's like when you look at it, it's these training camps are for these situations, but I think we do have to put them in a good light and put them in a position to succeed, and you know to show them off. It's because if we keep them too long, we're gonna let somebody go that's good,
yep.
And that will fit with the team better. And then you like I said, you lose when a player sees you keeping somebody just because they were a first round draft pick, you lose credibility with them anyway.
Yep.
And the center sleigh is not going to get off the ground.
They got my biggest support for the next two preseason games, man. You know what I mean?
Let's go
Rager Dillard.
What's your guys' thoughts on Noah Tagai? I mean, he was getting the most looks at the tight end two position.
He was definitely getting a look. He was definitely getting a look by Gail. You know, I mean, Gail thought he was Hispanic for a moment there. We were like,
he thought
he was Hispanic. He was like, yeah, I didn't know we had a Hispanic on the team. I didn't know that, dude.
I was. Prime was like, hey.
You almost say.
Oh, but hey, if everyone wants to pronounce his name correctly, because you'll hear every different.
Here
we try to do breaking news here. Maybe I can get some breaking news music.
Yeah, I'm on the case. You always catch me too late with this.
Evan is a phenomenal producer off air, by the way. Breaking news to pronounce Noah's last name. It is Tong-E-I.
Tong-E-I?
Tong-E-I.
Noah Tong-E-I?
Tong-E-I.
All right.
Interesting. Noah Tong-E-I. Well,
have to learn that or not.
I don't know where he got it at.
Well, the fact that Grant Calcaterra is dealing with he's been out for a minute. He's a guy that's getting some snaps right now. You talk about Tyree Jackson on the pup. You know, we got Dick Rod who is being, you know, the ghost of
Dick Rod.
He's the ghost of tight end. He's the ghost of tight end. Pat. Like you know,
he said Dick Rod. I'm like, what?
He's the ghost of tight end past. Like he's around. He just like roams. He's there when you need him.
Right.
So he's getting valuable reps right now.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Now, Adam in the chat also asked the question: hey, Josh Sweat and Hassan Reddick double-digit sacks this year. Y'all put money on that?
For both of them, I think we have two guys with double digit sacks. I don't think it ends up being two ends though. I think we end up getting a tackle and an end.
I think we're gonna have two ends though, because the tackles are gonna be getting that pressure up the gut. But when the clear and present danger comes up the gut, the quarterback is gonna roam outside. And as long as those guys stay up, if those guys learn to stay outside and not jump inside all the time. Both of those guys will get 10 plus sacks.
Steve Speed says, that makes sense. The Samoan names are always pronounced Tong-E-I. Okay. We learned something, man. We're a very cultured podcast here.
You know.
Very, yeah. There's not too many podcasts here who have different shades of and then we have Evan, and then we have a Latino, and we have a Filipino and a brother here, and then a brother, and we're very cultured.
We got people with hair, we got people without hair.
Evan called me up the other night. He was making stir fry. Hey. I was like, look at you, bro.
Being cultured out there.
He was being diverse. What the hell happened to Prime?
He's got a
okay. He's gone, huh?
Where we passed the hour mark. This is usually where it goes off the rails.
A little bit. I got a pee though, so
okay. This is the first time we'll have this. This will be the
identification.
This will be the first time.
You might want to mute me while I'm going to the restroom.
Okay. we have really went off the rails. But Ev, I almost got in a car and went to Cleveland today.
What? Really?
I did. I shout out to Aaron. Aaron hit me up this morning. He said, bro, you want to go to Cleveland? And I said,
yes. So are you going to go?
No.
No.
That open practice really had me tempted, man.
I know. And I love how dedicated you're just willing to drive everywhere, bro. Man's going to up and drive to Cleveland.
Shout out to Mr. Goldhammer. He was at the open practice.
Yeah.
Tailgate. First time ever having tomato pie. Shout out to Conchi for supplying the tomato pies.
Absolutely.
Got them on video. First time eating it.
They're always a favorite at the tailgates.
Yeah, man. At the end of the day, it's I miss the tailgates.
I missed it too, but man, it was great to get back. I mean, dude, that was an awesome tailgate that we threw for the open practice.
Just so you know, the opener tailgate should be amazing.
Will be
amazing. There's some surprises in our sleeves.
Really?
Potentially. So it should be a good time. You guys want to go around with your last words before we get out of here?
What's your last words, Evan? Give them to me.
Well, man,
accuracy.
Listen, I'm willing to. If that's the direction we're going to go, I want to eat crow this year. I want to be wrong about the things that I had said about Jalen. Listen, I don't even want to pump it up like I was sitting here down on Jalen Hurts. I've been up on Jalen Hurts. I just, you know, I wanted to see some improvement in certain areas. But what I saw in preseason one got me juiced, man. It got me juiced. I think that Jalen Hurts is going to take a huge step forward this year. I think we're going to have a great offense and even better defense. And I think the sky's the limit, man. Sky's the limit.
We'll go with Prime.
You know, I mean, just to pretty much piggyback off of that, I mean, it just feels good to have some Eagles football back. We're looking forward to seeing the next preseason game. I mean, like I said, I'm rooting for Rager and Dillard so we can go ahead and build their stats up and you know what I mean, get something good out of it. It's time to go ahead and definitely move on from these two guys. Other than that, you know, excited to see this offense and defense go to work, man. These first string boys are looking good, man. So I'm really excited about the upcoming season. Let's go.
We'll go with the damn Skippy, man. Last word, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I like the way we came out. We came out of the preseason. So it was a great way for the ones to come out. And I was happy to see the new toys that we've equipped the squad with. And not only that, it's like I feel like the team and the guys. They have their window of opportunity, and I think they're going to seize the moment. And I can just feel it with the way they practice, the way they go about things. It was a breath of fresh air to see. And also, to what Evan said, put those clowns that we got. This pretty much going to be that we don't need to go into the season with extra motherfuckers that we don't need.
Exactly.
That we don't need. We need to get handle that business now, and get it out of the way. So they're not that person in the room that's holding the roster spot that somebody else who actually is helping us. Yeah, can contribute. Yes. That's what I take from this. And I can't wait to see the Cleveland game. Thug Life, West Side.
If I'm going to follow up, my last word is, narratives are going to be written. They're going to be put out there on the timeline. Some people have agendas. Some people actually will watch the film and really break it down and give it to you. And some, you know, will just leave it for the players to actually just show up and do their thing. I think sometimes people are very impatient. I think we got a nice glimpse of the improvement that we've seen. We talk about the fundamentals, talk about the technique. We saw a little bit of that last week. I think it's a great opportunity to just keep on watching the birds progress. You know, the game has to be played, and that's what at the end of the day you can talk all you want about it. The game has to be played, and then that's where you see the results. So we're gonna be positive. We're gonna think about W's. We're gonna think about the beginning of the season. We're gonna think about progression. We're gonna think about positive vibes. Think about tailgating with Philly Sports Trips. Shout out to them. At the end of the day, it's fly Eagles fly. We'll see you guys in the next one.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store, or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.